Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first ODAC podcast of the 2012-2013 athletic seasons. This is JJ Nekloff with Brad Banks, and as always, Brad, we are just a day away from the beginning of the season here, the fall campaigns, with pretty much everything in action this weekend, and we're looking forward to an outstanding season.
Yeah, we've got a unique situation in that the first play date's usually the 1st of September, and because that falls on the weekend, around the Labor Day weekend, they can start on Friday. So we've got a lot of games going, as you mentioned, this weekend, and a lot of teams getting started, some in tournaments, some playing individual games, and a full slate of football games as well. So plenty on the table, and really hard to believe the end of last year in May, and we've made it through the summer and updated the things we've had to do here, and it seems like it was only a couple of weeks before we're back at it again. But all reports from our institutions are extremely positive going into the 12-13 academic year, and we're looking for a great season, especially in the fall here.
Well, and you say that our institutions, and that in itself has changed, with officially changing here for this summer. Starting on July 1st, we had Shenandoah become a full-time member of the ODAC, the 14th full-time member, and add in the associate memberships that we've had, Catholic for football and Notre Dame of Maryland and Greensboro for swimming, which were added last September. That brings us up to 17 total member school associations for the league. So that whole our institutions has definitely seen a little bit of a landscape change.
Yeah, it has. I mean, you know, it's logic that, you know, Winchester's in Virginia, and it just kind of takes in a little bit northern neck of 81 there for us from a full sport membership. And again, the dynamics, as you mentioned, of swimming changing really for the positive last year. We reflected on that in the podcast of the inclusion of Greensboro and Notre Dame. And, you know, the fact of where they're located is irrelevant from the standpoint of they get together twice a year. They get together for a relay, and then they get together for the end of the year championship that we hosted in Greensboro, which was right down the street from Greensboro College in Guilford as well. So, you know, it's worked out well. And I think the addition of Shenandoah, after having numerous conversations with them in the Winchester area, is that people are extremely excited. And I got a great email the other day, just inquisitive about, you know, football game times and, you know, how they're going to be able to play those games on campus and what time. And so there's a lot of energy in the Winchester area from the fans, as well as graduates of our institutions, having an opportunity in the Northern Virginia, you know, which is quite a large metropolis, it seems like, going from one town to the other into Baltimore and Washington and that whole group, to be able to get over there and see some of our teams play a little bit closer to home. So we're looking forward to having Shenandoah, and I know that they're looking forward to being a part of the league and a valuable member of the league for years to come.
Well, and as we've done in previous years, we've whet everybody's appetite with some of the preseason polls, or actually all the preseason polls except for football, this past league leading up here to the first play date. And one of the sports that we're going to focus on here today is field hockey, and just happens to be one that Shenandoah was a part of the ODAC as a full-time status, if you will, last season as they were making their entrance into the league. But we've got an opportunity to talk with Enza Steele from the Lynchburg College field hockey team. They were picked number one in the preseason poll. They've won 6 straight ODAC titles. They've won 15 overall, which is an ODAC record for that sport, and really have done some outstanding things. And Enza herself has 476 wins right now. So if she has another season like she did last, she's got the 500 win plateau right in front of her. So there's some outstanding developments that could be happening in all of our sports, including field hockey.
Yeah, you know, Enza's been doing it a long time. I mean, you've got to do it a while to get 400 and some victories, regardless of what sport you're associated with. But, you know, she's done a great job. And it seems to me, and we have a chance to catch up with her and ask her these questions, is, you know, where is that energy coming from? Because they're getting better. And they're probably as good or as strong a squad as they've been in years. And the highest ranked preseason team in a national poll that we have in the conference. So, you know, that says a lot. And it says a lot because it's in an area that, you know, frankly, field hockey is not a strong sport in the state of Virginia. It just isn't at the high school level, maybe at the prep level a little bit. Some high schools play it, but, you know, it's a New England sport. It's certainly an East Coast, Northeast Coast sport, and something that, at least in Division III ranks, is not, you know, widely played in our area. So, you know, again, kudos to Enza and her squad, and certainly let's have a chance to catch up with her and get a little insight as to not only Lynchburg's team, but what's in store for the ODAC in 2012.
Joined by Enza Steele, the field hockey coach at Lynchburg College, they're picked number one in the preseason poll, and they're also ranked seventh in the NFHCA preseason poll, the National Coaches Association for Field Hockey. Coach, talk to us a little bit about your team right now in preseason, how they're looking, as you've got four all-conference players back, including last year's Player of the Year and the Farm Bureau Scholar Athlete in Shelly Milks.
Well, I think our nucleus that came back is a little stronger than last year. We set some goals for them in the spring, and basically goals for, you know, some distance running, and they have accomplished those goals. So I'm happy about that. We have a few new players that are going to add a lot to us. We just need to get them into college mode training as opposed to high school. I think it's just going to take us a little bit to get our team gelled, especially losing five starters.
Well, you talked about goals, and goals are one thing that has never been short for the Lynchburg field hockey program. It's one of the top scoring teams in the country the last several years, and one of the players that really leads the way in that has been Lindsay Leonard, especially what she did last year. What are your expectations out of her and some of the other players for this season?
I hope Lindsay is going to improve on last year. Skill-wise, she is a better player. We've actually even worked on her hitting to make her a little more powerful. So I think she is going to have a very similar year to last year. And we have a few more players that should be pretty big scorers for us, which will help take some of the pressure off of her. And we'd like to do more scoring from multiple players this year. And that could be a, you know, big plus for our team.
Enza, this is Brad. I wanted to talk with you about maybe reflecting back a little bit. You know, you've crested that 450 victories on your way to 500. I think it's like 475 now, and you know, you've been at this for quite a while. What's the secret kind of to the success of where you are now? I mean, I would say you probably have had great teams between your field hockey, even your women's lacrosse squads years ago, but you know, it seems like these kids are really clicking, and you've got this not renewed energy, but continued energy around the program now. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that links my team and maybe makes them special is just part of my own heritage, and that family is important, and family is number one. And we need to understand each other, we need to accept each other, and we need to embrace each other's strengths and weaknesses. And then as a family, we work on everyone's weaknesses until they become strengths. So within my coaching, do a lot of one-on-one coaching, trying to make every player better in addition to working on team concepts. It takes a lot more hours. My assistants will tell you sometimes they're not crazy, you know, demanding all the hours with individual work, but it truly pays off.
When you look, I guess, demographically or even geographically, Enza, you know, the South, at least from a Division III perspective, isn't a powerhouse for field hockey, although a large number of the stronger field hockey programs, certainly at Division I level, or you know, North Carolina, Maryland, Wake Forest, kind of that area. But what do you think your secret's been there at Lynchburg, outside of the family, you know, direction of where you are in recruiting and having a program that's the highest ranked ODAC fall program going into the fall seasons in 2012 with your ranking in field hockey?
Well, I think one of the things, I myself am from New Jersey, so my first affiliation with field hockey is with principal high school coaches in New Jersey and then graduate school in New York. So I did build a connection very early on with what was most powerful high school teams in the country. And then as the years have gone by, teams have gotten stronger and stronger in Virginia, and now we're even seeing that happen in North Carolina. So I think I've been fortunate to bring the real talent down here because of my connection with the North.
where have you seen, or what have you seen out of the evolution, not only of the league, but of the region in general? As you mentioned there, that the teams in North Carolina are getting better and the recruiting bases seem to be expanding a little bit. Talk a little bit about the evolution of both the conference and the region.
Well, I think there are more playing opportunities for women in general. I think everyone is trying to have gender equity and opportunities for women, and field hockey is a fall sport, and traditionally it was just volleyball and cross country that women did. And I think everyone is like, well, you know, we can start a field hockey team and we can have 24 people, and that's, you know, a real big boost for women's opportunities. And then people in the South are moving outside the South and playing some games. Well, and I think better coaches in the South has really been a plus. I know in the ONAC conference, I think we're hiring, you know, some excellent coaches, and starting to see, you know, more competitiveness within our conference.
You talk about the added women's opportunities, and it's maybe not ironic, but it's a good similarity to mention that, especially with the celebration that's been with Title IX over the past year. Knowing that you're approaching that 500 win plateau, what is just the perspective and visibility of reaching a plateau like that in the sport of field hockey, where you only play a limited number of games, so you have to have success year in and year out to reach that level? What do you think that does for the perspective of the sport and for women looking to become head coaches?
Well, I think it's like anything. You have to have a passion. You can't go into coaching just because it gives you extra money. If you're a high school teacher, because you're getting extra salaries to coach, that should not be the reason for coaching. I think you have to be willing to work with individuals and see them excel and be a part of that. You know, excelling, what did you do? How did you make that player better? What can I do to help make the rest of my players better? You know, one thing I do, I don't glorify in our wins. I actually probably ponder over things that we don't do well, or if we have one or two losses, I really try and break down the game and figure out where we could have done better, and then really focus on those things until it becomes the strength of the team. So, to me, it's just a great challenge to overcome obstacles.
And so when you talk about it, and as we wrap things up, you're thinking, obviously, focus on the conference, winning the conference, and your preseason favorite to do that, but hypothetically, if that takes place, and even in the past couple of years, you've advanced to the NCAA tournament, and you talk about depth and the size of your squad and the talent of your squad. But what's missing? What's that silver bullet that's there with taking the next step? Which, in my opinion, would be based upon your success, is moving through the NCAA tournament and possibly playing for a national championship, which Coach Yeager there. And men's soccer did just a couple of years ago.
Well, you know, I think we are just as talented as anyone that was in the Final Four. But I think instead of having 9 or 10 games against a nationally ranked team, we had maybe 3. We're not in an area where we're able to play the top 10 teams over and over. So that gives us probably a little disadvantage when it comes to the national tournament. And I think because we're in the South and the national tournament, Lynchburg is further away than many of the top schools. I don't think we have never gotten an opportunity to host, the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8. And I think having that opportunity would be a huge thing for us.
When you talk about the opportunities that could come down to the area, the one that's most prevalent here, at least toward the end of the season, will be coming up, will be the national tournament, and hosting it at the National Training Center in Virginia Beach. Talk a little bit about what you think that could do for exposure in this area for field hockey.
Oh, I think it's huge. And, you know, you know, we've had the National Training Center there for years, and a lot of the high school girls get to play on AstroTurf. The Virginia Beach team, Northern Virginia, are just getting so much better because they're playing on a quality surface. And I think, you know, the more we can do things like that, the better it's going to be for the South. And, you know, the more we do things at the conference, the more we play out of region, I think it's just going to be, you know, a win-win for the ODAC.
Well, Coach, we look forward to watching the Hornets this season, and well, actually two Hornets now in the league with Shenandoah beginning its second season in field hockey this year. We look forward to watching both Hornets and the rest of the ODAC teams, and good luck this season. Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Well, Brad, as we can see with what we've seen out of the preseason polls and rankings, Lynchburg is loaded for bear and looking to make another strong run here in the ODAC at the 7th championship. But there's definitely some competition coming from the league, from the likes of Randolph-Macon, from Eastern Mennonite, and some of the other teams that could be up and coming in the conference. And we'll just have to see how the schedule plays out this season.
Yeah, again, like you said, Lynchburg's certainly a formidable opponent. It'll have the opportunity to have the bullseye on their back every time they have a chance to play people. But, you know, again, I think we're getting better in the sport of field hockey, and institutions are seeing their programs improve. And hopefully we'll see some a high level of competition, as you indicated, this year. And, you know, that speaks for all the other sports that we have in the fall, even referring to both soccers. You know, you look at the preseason polls in soccer, and there's one familiar face there in Lynchburg's Todd Olson, and the Lynchburg Hornets pick first on the women's side. And there's an unfamiliar face from a standpoint of Randolph College being picked first after winning the conference championship last year. And I would say somewhat of a surprise in doing that, and then advancing a number of rounds in the NCAA tournament. And we've had a chance to kind of take a little bit different tack with what we're doing in the preseason and talking to those individuals, some of them in the preseason on video, and posting them on the ODAC website. So we'd encourage certainly anybody that's listening to go out there and sample some of the fare. We've got a number of coaches, including cross country as well.
Yeah, we've talked to several of the coaches here through video, like you talked about Brian Wagner and Dr. Todd Olson. His video will be coming up as well too, to go along with Randolph's video. But it's nice to take advantage of some of the new features of the website. And we also talked with Brian Flynn from Bridgewater College cross country. His women's program is picked number one of the conference. The men are number two and up and coming. So it sounded appropriate to talk to him for both of their programs, get kind of a preview on what he's gotten, a little take on some of the seasons here, what their expectations are, because it's a little bit different when you get into a meat-based sport, if you will, like cross country is, where you don't have the head-to-head outings every time. So they prep themselves a little bit different, and it was interesting to hear him talk about, you know, the big meets that they try to gear themselves up for and get to see that competition and then know where they need to be or where they are and what they have to get to. So it was interesting to hear that. So we decided to go with a couple different avenues, video for those four sports, and then we'll come to the podcast here for Coach Steele and field hockey. And we'll also do the same thing a little bit later here with Bill Rogers from Randolph-Macon and volleyball, as they were picked number one in the conference. Again, they've won the last three championships in the league and really return the majority of their starting lineup and have a lot of depth on that squad as well, too.
Yeah, I noticed doing some research on in thinking about volleyball and knowing that we were going to have a chance to talk to Bill today on the podcast, that they're returning their five all-conference players, you know, as a part of their squad, you know, coming back. And, you know, that's obviously pretty impressive considering the fact, as you said, they've won three conference championships and they're starting to get that experience at the national level that's really whetting their appetite to continue on that string. And certainly credit to Bill and the work that he's done with that program in the time that he's been there, because he is a dedicated coach and certainly has the best interests of his student athletes at heart.
And we had a chance to catch up with Coach Bill Rogers, and let's hear what he had to say about his team coming into this season and what he thinks about the league and its national and really the sport's national perspective around the country within the ABCA ranks in Division III. Joined by Bill Rogers, the head volleyball coach at Randolph-Macon College. They were picked number one in this year's preseason poll. And, Coach, you've won three straight ODAC championships. They're the three championships that Randolph-Macon volleyball program has won in its history. And you've really had some outstanding success over the past few years. Can you talk a little bit about what that success has meant to the team and not only in current players right now, but what it's meant to the reputation of your program to be able to continually bring in strong players?
Well, it's certainly raised the bar.
Interesting point of view. I never thought about it that way, but what we do know is that you do have a loaded roster again this year, at least from returning players, what we can see from what we know, with five all-conference players back. Talk a little bit about the depth of your roster and what your expectations are for your team this season.
I think that that we have pretty good depth. I think in this day and age, you need good depth. So I think it's necessary what we have. I mean, I have a pretty good freshman group coming in that's well experienced. And my returners are very solid. But I think we have things like injuries and flu and now concussions keep kids out much longer than they used to. So I think the depth is necessary if you want to be successful.
Bill, this is Brad. When you came into the program and took the program over, think back and talk a little bit about your goals and vision for the program. And I would imagine, and not putting words in your mouth, you've been able to accomplish a number of those goals. And reflecting back, kind of what's your perspective on where you are now and when you started? Sure. Bill, when you talk about the national perspective and the landscape there, you've had the opportunity to advance the national tournament, the last 3 years, and your results from the first trip to Texas, and then as you have obviously improved to the following year where you were, just a couple calls away from the standpoint of points away from advancing into the championship round. And then last year, losing to a great Emory squad, which year in and year out, they're a perennial power in Division III volleyball. When you think about the region and you kind of look at the ODAC as a part of it, and obviously Washington and Lee's success in the conference prior to your run of three championships, where does the league stand in the region? And is it time, or are we getting closer to having a two-bid league where we have two teams make the national tournament?
Well, I think we had two teams make it the year before that.
Yeah.
So I think that's true. Yeah, I think so. I think that some of the other coaches have figured out that they have to compete against the toughest teams out there in order to get the recognition. And I think once you start doing that, you get more and more teams who get that national level of experience. But I think teams in general have to compete, not just in the state or in the East, but I think they've got to compete somewhat at the national level to get some of that recognition. And they are. So I think, we've got four or five teams every year are capable of playing really, really well.
And the follow-up to that, Bill, would be, I would assume your scheduling reflects that as well, and the opportunity in looking at last year's schedule, the number of ranked opponents you had a chance to play, and of course a very formidable opponent right down Interstate 64 and Christopher Newport is preseason pick number one, and you had an opportunity last year and you defeated CNU in 3-2. So I'm assuming that your scheduling this year is indicative of that pursuit of quality competition again.
I think so, but I also think it's important to not look too far beyond the ODAC. There's such good teams now that, the national level experience is good. I think that it speeds your game up to play at that level, but you got to look at the quality of the players in the ODAC and the quality of the teams, because if you catch yourself looking past them, you won't make the tournament fall. So we're really concentrating on
Well, Bill, we look forward to following the Yellow Jackets and your squad as you advance through the 2012 campaign, and wish you the best of luck, and look forward to seeing you hopefully down the line at the conference tournament.
Thanks very much. Thanks for your support.
Well, Brad, it's good to hear from Coach Rogers, and his squad is obviously ready for the season. And his experience not only in the conference here after being a head coach now for several years at Randolph-Macon, but also on the regional advisory committee and what he knows about the region as a whole and where the ODAC needs to be to get to certain places to gain some more notoriety or familiarity within that group.
Yeah, it's good to have a coach that's on the rack who's contending for selection, and certainly is in consideration. It allows them to get a little bit more intimately involved in what's going on and increases their understanding. I knew certainly the way Bill's program was moving in that direction, that he would be a good person to have involved. And as evidenced by the conversation, he certainly is a valuable member of the RAC. And we have an opportunity to have an individual coach dependent upon, not dependent upon their school, but the conference in general to report to that RAC and have the weekly conversations related to what's going on in the region and help the NCAA National Committee come up with those regional rankings that are released 2 or 3 weeks prior to the selections for the national championship. And we've got great people on all of those committees, including Pedro Arruza from Randolph-Macon, who serves on football, and football's here as well. You know, we've talked about the fall sports, but the first week of football is this Saturday, and we've really got a couple marquee games, one big rivalry game with Guilford and Greensboro, but a number of games to kind of keep your eye out. Actually, we start on Friday, I believe, with McDaniel and Catholic in Washington, D.C., starting things off for us. So, again, it's the fall is here for sure.
And it's really a new start or a new addition for football with Shenandoah coming in. Really, it changes a lot to their schedule. It changes the landscape of the schedule a lot, even though it's really just one team. But not having to go out and get that fourth non-conference game, not just having three, really does ease some of the burden on the schedules in the league. And you would hear the coaches talk about that at every pass you can. They would all talk about how it's a little bit easier schedule or scheduled games they want to now and not have to worry about making a long trip. Hampton's Indy, unless it wants to, doesn't have to make that trip to Huntington anymore. Washington Lee, unless it wants to, doesn't have to make that trip up to Case Western Reserve. They may still want to do that to face some different competition, but now they're not forced to make those decisions that can really affect budgets and schedules and travel and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, when you start traveling further away, you're missing class on Friday. You've got to make those trips ahead of time. And depending upon what time of the year you're playing that game, and you'll hear the coaches talk about this, you know, the last thing they want to do is take that 10-hour bus trip the week before they start conference play. And as you said, you know, you've got 4 weeks there at the beginning. Now you do. One of them is going to be a bye because the conference schedule, as a result of having Shenandoah in the league, is going to have everybody playing every play date the last 7 weeks of the season, which is unique because for the last, gracious, probably the entire time I've been here, we've had byes opened up at the end of the season without a rotating conference schedule. And certainly ironic that we talk about that today after having put out our conference football schedule from 2014 through 2019 today to the coaches for feedback. And the initial responses I've gotten thus far have been very positive. So, you know, it makes scheduling, as you said, a whole lot easier. And it hopefully helps alleviate some of that stress that they had finding that fourth non-conference game. Now you're going to hear it's tough to get that third non-conference game from them. But, I think it's definitely going to help them out a bunch.
Well, we've got a busy weekend here, the opening weekend of the 2012-13 seasons, starting with just about every fall sport actually is in action. Pay attention to the schedules on the ODEC member schools websites as well as the ODEC website. Make sure to follow everybody's social media so you get the latest updates. Go to the ODEC's Facebook page at facebook.com/ODEC Athletics. Don't forget to follow ODEC's on Twitter at ODEC Athletics. And then each of our other schools has a Twitter feed as well, too, that you're going to want to follow so you can get the most up-to-date information that comes across when press releases and stats are out and any new release comes out that they want to let the public know about, and also features, different things, you know, outside of fall sports right now. But Roanoke College is doing a nice job promoting its 100 years of basketball, and they're doing it over 100 days of updates. And I believe they should be on day 78 or 79 right now. And it's different things like that our schools are doing a nice job of letting you know where you need to find the information or about the features that you want to see about your favorite ODEC schools. So for Brad Banks, and this is JJ Nekloff, we'll talk to you next week.